Well, good morning. Today we continue our sermon series in Advent by looking at the book of Isaiah. So if you have a Bible with you or a Bible app, please turn to Isaiah chapter 12. Some of you may remember that on the first Sunday of Advent, Bishop Martin preached from Isaiah 9. He explained that Jesus, the Messiah, is coming to establish a new government. In fact, as we were praying, Jamie mentioned the words that are used in Isaiah to describe who Jesus, the Messiah, would be. And on the second Sunday, last week, Jamie preached from Isaiah 11. He described how Jesus, the Messiah, will make everything new. He explained, that's why we're looking at the book of Isaiah. So we know the plan to make everything right and just and good again has been fulfilled, is being fulfilled, and will be fulfilled through the sovereign rule of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So today, the third Sunday of Advent, we consider the people's response to this good news. Before we continue, however, I'd like for us to pause just for a moment. Take a moment and just ask yourself this question. How am I? You may be enjoying the sights and sounds and tastes of the season. You may be looking forward to celebrating with family and friends. You may feel like this is truly the most wonderful time of the year. Or you may simply be tired and weary of the hectic pace leading up to Christmas. Some of you may be facing financial difficulty, unexpected expenses, or the loss of a job. In this season, many people feel alone. You may feel anxious about the future, the change in our administration, of our government, the uncertainty of the economy. You may be worried or waiting for the outcome of a scan or a test or an upcoming procedure. You may find yourself feeling a little down. A friend of mine just admitted, you know, I found myself just feeling down, and you realize you are grieving the loss of someone you love. And the second question is, what am I seeking? You remember Jesus turned to two of John the Baptist's disciples who were following him, and he said, what are you seeking? That's such a great question and an important one for us. There are all the things on our to-do lists, but ultimately, what really matters most to us? What are we seeking? Comfort? Tidings of comfort and joy? Strength? Strength to keep going? Encouragement? Do you just feel the need to hear someone say, you're doing a good job? As a mom, as a father, as a teacher, as a son or daughter, as a caregiver. Joy, a joy that wells up within you, or do you just need the assurance it's going to be okay? It's going to be okay. And that leads us to our passage today, because wherever you are and whatever you're seeking, God's message is one of comfort, salvation, strength, and joy. In that day, you will find in the Lord to be a comfort, salvation, strength, and joy. So if you have your Bible open to Isaiah 12, look at verse 1. In that day. Now that day refers to the description of the reign of the Lord that we heard in Isaiah 11. If you remember from last week, when Jamie preached, we looked specifically at verses 6 through 10. He described it beautifully and powerfully. That day, when everything is as it should be, that day when everything is made right the way it was in the beginning, that day when we will celebrate all that God has done. That day also refers to now. You and I live in this already but not yet place. And in this day, while we await Jesus' return, how do we respond to God's movement in our lives, his pursuit of us, his movement toward us? What does it look like while we long and wait and yet give thanks and praise? Look at verse 1. I will give thanks to you, O Lord. Why? Look at the end of that verse. Your anger turned away and you comforted me. God comforts me, so I will give him thanks. How does God turn his anger away? By his grace. The people of Israel didn't deserve it. They didn't get it right. They didn't figure it out. God just decided by his grace to turn away and satisfy his own anger and comfort his people. And that's true through Jesus. Through Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, he became the sacrifice for our sins so we could have peace with God. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And when by his grace you realize this, when you get a revelation of the person of Jesus, when you're comforted by the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, you're simply thankful. God comforts me, so I will give him thanks. And look at verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. God saves me, so I will trust and not be afraid. God saved you and me from the consequences of sin and death. If by grace you can say or confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved, moved from death to life, out of darkness and into his wonderful light. God saved you and me, and God saves you and me. Can you think of a time when you realize, I have been rescued, I've been spared, I've been saved? I can. I can look back on places and times in my life when I know without a doubt, Lord, you saved me. You saved me from my disobedience. You saved me from all the places that I was looking for life but you. You saved me from poor decisions. You saved me from a toxic relationship. You saved me from a wobbly orbit of faith. And when you recognize God's salvation and his boundless love for you, you grow in the grace to trust him and not be afraid. I will trust and not be afraid. So God comforts me and I will thank him. God saves me, I will trust and not be afraid. And see verse 2. For the Lord is my strength. God is my strength, so I will rely on him. You remember when the Lord led the Israelites across the Red Sea to safety? Moses, when they got to the other side, Moses and the Israelites burst into song. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Well, you can imagine them saying that after walking across the Red Sea on dry ground and the Egyptian army being vanquished. They had been saved, and they sang to the Lord. This understanding of the Lord is recorded throughout the Old Testament. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts. That's Psalm 28:7. And if you, like others, have known the strength of the Lord, I'd like to share with you a personal story of a pastor who had a big influence on my friends and me, Pastor Dick Woodward. He was the founder and pastor of Williamsburg Community Chapel. He loved the Lord. He loved his word. He had this irrepressible joy about him. I can remember so many of his things that he said, and he understood that the Lord was his strength. He understood that apart from him, apart from the Lord, he could do nothing. And he was famous for this saying, "I can't, but he can. And I'm in him, and he's in me. I won't, but he will. And I'm in him, and he's in me. I didn't, but he did. And I'm in him, and he's in me." Later in his life, Dick was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Many of you know that's a degenerative disease, and it slowly started to take away all Dick's motor skills. He was soon confined to a wheelchair, and not long after that, to bed. And yet, Dick said even more, "I can't, but he can. And I'm in him, and he's in me." Have you ever experienced a time when you felt the world crashing in on you? When you felt overwhelmed? When you felt like, "Lord, this is just too much." And yet, the Lord was your strength. He sustained you. His grace was sufficient for you. And he brought you through that time. If you've known the Lord to be your strength, then you know you can rely on him. God is my comfort. I will thank him. God is my salvation. I will trust him. God is my strength. I will rely on him. Now look at verse 3. "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." By God's grace, when you realize he's not only your comfort, your salvation, and your strength, he's a well of salvation. A well. God is a bottomless well of salvation. You can go to it and draw from it as often as you wish. And it's available to you for free. It cost Jesus everything. But it cost you and I nothing but the work of God, which is to believe in the one whom he has sent. It never runs out. It's abundant, everlasting, overflowing, and refreshing. Remember, Jesus said, "Whoever drinks of the water I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life, and you can draw on it with joy." And here's the best part. When you and I drink of the water of the fountain of this wellspring of life, we become a spring of living water. In Isaiah 58, later in the book, Isaiah writes, "You shall be like a well-watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not." Is that who I am? Is that who you are? After people have been with you and me, have they enjoyed a cool drink of water? Do they feel encouraged or refreshed, uplifted? That is what it's like when God is your well of salvation. God is my comfort, salvation, and strength. And I know at times this is hard to believe. You hear me and you think, "Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through right now." Well, listen to these words that Jamie reminded us of last week. There is a reality more real than what you see with your eyes. There is a truth truer than what you hear with your ears. Do not lose hope, believer. Do not lose heart. Greater than the sum of all the heartbreak and evil and uncertainty of this world is the reality and the truth of the gracious coming and reigning of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Amen. In that day, you will find in the Lord a comfort, salvation, strength, and joy. And when that's true, God becomes your song. Look at verse 4. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, proclaim his name is exalted. Sing praise to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy. We were with some friends last night, and we were talking about the fact that somehow, in some way, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that is true of Truro. We sing of the glory of God, don't we? You feel it when you're here. Something just feels alive. It stirs in our hearts, and we sing for joy. In that day, you will say in that day, when you know God and experience him to be your bottomless well of comfort, salvation, and strength, he becomes your song. He becomes your song. How? How can you and I do these things? Because they are the response to the love of God, to his movement toward you and me. By faith in Jesus, you and I can say, you chose me. Not because I'm worthy, not because I figured it out or got it right, not because I studied hard enough, not because I've prayed long enough, but because you love me. The Lord loves you. You loved me and invited me to be part of the beautiful, epic, profound sweep of your redemptive story. Friends, we're living in the story, the redemptive story of God to make all things new again. You called me out of darkness into your marvelous light. I'm not left out. I'm not forgotten. I'm not on the B list. I'm not an extra. I'm chosen, and you have given me a new purity, a new person, a new passion, and a new power. You've begun a good work in me to transform me into the likeness of Jesus, and you will see it to completion. The deepest desire of the new heart, the regenerate heart God has put in you and me, is to sing praise to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let his name be known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy. Many of you who are familiar with our prayer book and have been part of morning prayer may know and recognize this prayer. We call it the General Thanksgiving. I love these verses. Listen to this prayer. Give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all of our days. Why? For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. In that day, when the dwelling place of God is with man, in that day when he makes all things new, but also that day being today, now, because he's among us. When we gather in his name, he's here. He's in us. Don't you know that your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit? And we are in him. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. He, the Holy One, is here in our midst. In that day, you will find the Lord by his grace to be your comfort, your salvation, your strength, and your joy. On this third Sunday of Advent, what are you seeking? Are you looking, longing to find these things to be true about God. His, your comfort, salvation, strength, and everlasting wellspring of grace. Andrew Davies, a scholar, wrote about this chapter. Isaiah 12 is a call to fill our mouths with praise and thanksgiving now, to worship him in spirit and truth, to live every moment of our lives in thankful praise to the God of our salvation. It is secondly a call on us to be passionately and fruitfully engaged in what? Evangelism. Evangelism in this sense, that we declare to one another, to our neighbors, and to the nations, the greatness of Jesus' achievements on the cross and the empty tomb. And finally, it's a promise of rich future blessings when our present worship by faith and by the Spirit will be consummated in heaven. I love the end of Psalm 23. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In that day, you will find the Lord to be a comfort, salvation, strength, and joy. Please pray with me. Lord God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are so thankful that you've turned away your wrath. You satisfied it on the cross, and you came and found us. You saved us. You called us to yourself, and you began a good work in us to form us into the likeness of Jesus. Lord, we are called as your people to put you on display, to proclaim your goodness, your name, the holiness of your name to all the nations. And we pray that you would equip us for that good work. Lord, grant this, we ask, in your holy name. Amen.